It is good to see y'all. It's good to be here. My name's Kyle, Kyle Johnston, and I'm a member here, and I'm excited to be able to share with you today, but I'm going to be real honest. We're both going to find out what's going to happen this morning. It's been an interesting couple of weeks for me, and so we're going to just trust, like what's already been sung, and pray that the Lord's going to minister to all of us. Amen. So let me say a prayer. God, I do thank you so much. I thank you for who you are, what you've done. I thank you for all your precious promises. Thank you for life. Thank you for your love. Thank you that we can call you Father and that we rest assured because the Spirit of God in us cries out, Abba, Father, and we know that we're your children. Thank you for the blessed hope that's set before us. Thank you for sanctification and how you're changing us day by day, how you're renewing us. Thank you for the privilege of living on this earth for your name and for your glory. God, thank you that you're completely aware of everything about us and that we find our hope and our rest in you. That Jesus, you are our strength. You're our all in all. You are our sanctification. You are all that we need, and you've provided all that we need. And we just love you and we bless you. And I ask that you be exalted this morning continually. Thank you for the worship so far. And it's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, church, what is going on? Church, the called out ones. We've been called out, right? The Bible says if you're born again, you've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. The church, which is his people, his elected ones, the ones he's chosen, the church who walks upon this earth as his body. That's who we are. If you're in Christ, if you're born again, you're part of this body called the church. And the Bible says that his church, which is his body, is who we are. And so today I want to talk just a little bit, hopefully, to encourage all of us and remind us a little bit about one aspect of what Jesus has provided and done for his people, for his church. And that is he has provided life, and life in abundance. So if you got your Bible, let's look real quickly at a familiar verse. It's John chapter 10, part of verse 10 and verse 11. As you're turning there, I want to read this. Christianity is a religion of the heart and soul. Just like the two songs we just sang, how it's amazing how God can just grip your heart and turn it to him, and you feel the warmth of his embrace. Christianity is a relationship, amen? We are blessed to be in relationship with the living God. We are blessed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and God our Father. And a banner, if there could be a banner over this church, I think Brandon did it, you know, introduced it to us several weeks ago. Because of God, we get to be with God. And that's something that the gospel is just all about. Because of God, because of Jesus and what he's done for people, people get to be with God. And the crazy thing is, folks, we get to be with God now. That's what's exciting. This whole thing about eternal life. The Bible says we've already stepped from death into life. We're in it. We are enjoying. We're able to enjoy this life that he has provided through Jesus Christ. So Christians experience life with God because we actually have the life of God now. We're to walk in a newness of life, to act, to behave, and to conduct ourselves in a life that we previously did not have. People who aren't born again yet, they are void of life. The Bible says actually that they're dead in sin. There's two groups of people walking on the earth. Dead in sin, alive in Christ. There's only two groups of people, amen? We in our natural world, we categorize many different ways and we set people in different categories and groups. But in the spirit, in God's eyes, there's two people. We're either dead in sin or we've been made alive in Christ. And because previously, before being born again, there was no life in us. Apart of Jesus, you have no life of God in you. But now, because of Jesus, not only has grace made the way for righteousness It opened wide the door to life, a life eternal and abundance of it. The deepest need for man is spiritual needs. Amen? Our deepest needs are spiritual. So John chapter 10, the second part of verse 10 and verse 11, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the beautiful thing about Hebrews talks about how when Jesus was coming to the earth, came to the world, God prepared him a body, a physical body. And Jesus walked on the earth as a man. And that body was the sacrifice for sin. And the crazy thing about it is God still has a body on the earth. The Bible clearly says that the church is his body. And we're going to look for a few minutes in just a minute about the relevancy and the importance of us really understanding that just as Jesus gave his body as a sacrifice, God is still having his body living on this earth with his life in us, laying our lives down so that life can work in one another and so that life can touch the world. We are carrying on exactly what Jesus began to do. We are really truly co-workers, co-laborers with his mission. And we're actively involved. But the thing about it that I really want to focus on is Jesus has given us life in abundance. This divine life. This life that outside of Jesus you don't have. It's something totally contrary. Something other than human life. And he came to provide a life. And that's why we can have a relationship with God now. Because we actually have the life of God in us. So Matthew Henry puts it this way, talking about verses 10 and 11. He says, Jesus came to give life, a life that is inclusive of all that is good and stands in opposition to death, that we might have life in abundance, a life more abundant than that which was lost and forfeited by sin, a life more abundant than that which was promised by the law of Moses, and a life more abundant than what man could actually expect. Jesus came to restore people back to himself, back to the Father. He came to bring salvation. And he came to give life and give it in abundance, something more, something better. And in Christ, we not only live, but we are alive with life eternal, without death and the fear of death. There's a great book by Henry Scougal, I think, or Scougal, I think that's how you pronounce his name. And the whole book, he was, I think, 28 years when he read the book, or wrote the book, and it was years ago, I forget exactly when he wrote it. But in that book, his whole emphasis is trying to, it was originally letters to a friend to encourage that friend about the Christian life, about what we have in God. And in that book, he said a few things that I just want to read to you. He says, true Christianity is the union of the soul of man with the life of God. It is actually sharing the life of God. Two words that describe the nature of Christianity are divine life. Life, because it is ongoing, it's eternal. This life that we have, we've already stepped from death into life. It is ongoing. It is a forever life given by God to people. And it's divine because the actual source of it is God himself. And see, and that's what sometimes I really want my mind to comprehend is we're talking about God has given us his life. I mean, we have life of God in us. It's not just a future, I have eternal life, I'm going to live in heaven only. We are walking in the life of God now. We have something that people without God, they're clueless. In fact, the Bible says they're alienated from the life of God. You're either alive in Christ or you're dead in your sin. And that is what Jesus and the cross has done, to bring us out of darkness into light, to bring us from death into life. And God's people are the only people on the earth who carry this. And what God wants us to do, and what I hope that we get reminded of this morning by his grace and just him, is that we've got to enjoy this life. We've got to learn how to really not even know that we have the life of God, but somehow God wants his people to enjoy this abundance of life. Again, a life that is specifically and only came from heaven, from God himself. that God's people have. Because a man has received this divine life, he finds his pleasure and enjoyment in the fellowship of God. As we continue to discover how great this divine life is, how fulfilling his life is in us, we will find ourselves desiring him more, pursuing him more, and enjoying him more. God calls it a free gift. The eternal life in Christ is a free gift. And that we were made alive together with Christ. And I did mention, if you will, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I want to be, Bob, he really encouraged me earlier. He asked me how I was doing. I said, well, I'm fine, but this is, I'm going to just be real honest. I'm going to try to get really honest with y'all. This is just really interesting for me today. Because usually when I have opportunity, I'm really excited. And like even this topic, I'm going to just get so honest with y'all. This topic is exciting, and I know that in and of myself right now, it's just kind of like, hopefully not, but just like information. So that's why I've got to totally trust the Lord to ignite this in us and to just really encourage us about this. Because standing up here by myself, I'm telling you, it's just been a crazy 2 weeks. It's been like what I would have thought would have been working in me as I was looking at this was just like this dynamite excitement. I can't wait to just share with this, like Bob said, the family. You're just talking to the family. And so for me, to be honest with you, I kind of wish there was more oomph in my heart right now. So y'all just bear with me. Say a prayer if you can or whatever. But the biggest thing is that Jesus be glorified and that hopefully when we leave, we're encouraged something from God. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1. I can find it. Oh, well, yeah. So Bob, he did tell me, he said, hey, Kyle, just remember, you're just talking to the family. And so, hi, family. What's going on? Hope y'all are doing okay. Ephesians chapter 1, a wonderful, familiar verse. Let's just start with 18. It's kind of like in the middle of something. But having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. One thing that I think is real interesting, look at verse 22. And God put all things under his feet. And God calls Jesus the head of the body, right? So, and if he says the church is his body, so we are we're part of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. And God says all things have been put, watch this, all things have been put under his feet. We're the body, he's the head. All things have been put under his feet. God has put all things under the authority of Jesus Christ connected to the body, under the body, amen? We have the authority of Christ. God has given all authority to Jesus Christ, but he's placed everything specifically, it says, under the feet of the body. So that's what's exciting is we are walking in such victory through Jesus Christ as our head of the body. And I just love that. I love the fact that it says he didn't just put it under Jesus. He put all things under his feet. And he specifically goes on and says, he is the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness who fills all in all. So with us, church, as we live on this earth, we are his body, filled with His life. That's who the body of Christ is. Jesus Christ came, He did His ministry, He died on the cross. God gave Him a body as a sacrifice upon the cross for the sins of the world. And He's been resurrected. He ascended back on high. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And He says, I still have a body on the earth. I have this body who I have given my life to, and I've put all things under the feet of my body. And so with that authority that we have in God and having the life of God in us, He wants us to understand His life so that we basically copy or represent Him. And what He did, He said, by this you will know that Jesus said in John 15, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done for the world. He laid down his life. He gave up his life, and he gave life up, that natural life, so that he could bring us spiritual life. And then as his ministry continues, what he's done is through his body, like in John 3:16, 1 John, by this we know that love, that he laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And just as Jesus laid down his life for us, he wants us to lay down our lives for one another. And as we lay down our lives, deny ourselves, forsaking, you know, the desires of the flesh and all that, then the life comes forth out of the body and ministers one to another. Paul knew this so much, he says stuff like this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He also says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy to come forth. So Paul understood this concept that he being a part of the body of Christ and the life of God in him, he knew for him to walk on the earth was literally, he said, for me to live is Christ. The life of God in a believer up on the earth still. And that's what the body of Christ is still. We are the body of Christ with the life of Christ in us. And as we live on the earth, like this is our generation, the next one generation, this is our time on this earth to live and to glorify Jesus and to lay down our lives so that his life can touch other people, touch the body itself, and to also reach missionally to the world. And Paul even said, like I just read, that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He understood this concept. Paul understood for me to, he said, I'd rather leave. I'd rather be with Christ. But as long as I'm on this earth, my purpose in on this earth is Christ. It is Christ. It is literally for me to live is Christ. And it is for someone else's benefit. My life, Paul said, is actually for someone else's benefit. And he said death in another part in Corinthians, he said death works in me so that life can work in you. So this whole concept that God wants us to get is first to enjoy the life of God. God help us to enjoy the life of God. Not just to know that we have it, but to enjoy it. And the way we enjoy the life of God is to feed it. We feed it through the word of life. We enjoy his presence. We say no to the things we need to say no to, and we say yes to him. And as we protect this life and enjoy this life, like I read earlier, it gets to where when we understand more so progressively what God has given us, he's given us so many things, but I'm just specifically talking about the life of God, literally the divine life of God in us. He has given this life. We have it. If we are children of God, we have the life of God in us. And as we nurture that and enjoy that and walk in that and have that fellowship with God, we find ourselves wanting more and more fellowship with him. And as we get alive in him more so, then this other stuff just really kind of happens. In fact, it's like this forced Christianity has no vitality, none. When we feel like we have to make it happen, like I don't want to try to stand up here and try to make anything happen. But in living, in anything that we do, if we're feeling like we're trying to force Christianity, there's no vitality, no life in it. What the world needs is they need the body of Christ to be alive in him. We are not only living, but we are alive in Christ Jesus. And as we as God's people really nurture that and actually protect it, so to say, and actually get to place like, and again, thank God, I mean, Him, He's our life. He is our life, and our life is hid in Him. And as we understand, Father, all I've got to pursue You, and the more I pursue You, then You start giving me that desire to pursue You more. I've got to fellowship You, and the more I fellowship You, You want me to, You give me the desire to fellowship. He just keeps drawing us to Himself, and this life becomes alive and rich and vibrant and in us, and it becomes a living part of what the Bible says the body is, a living organism. Again, if we think about humanity, either dead in sin or alive in Christ. And as we get this life that we have, we've already passed from death to life. And as we get this life turning in us, and it's choices, it's sanctification, amen? It's all these things, these choices, these I die daily, the Bible says. And as we do, and the beautiful thing about this life, about God in us, is He always rewards obedience. He knows what we need when we need it. He knows. He wants his body so alive in Him, so rejoicing. And I'm not saying, believe me, I'm not saying that everything's a mountaintop. Because again, to be honest with you, these 2 weeks have been almost flatline. I'm thinking, thank You, God. I like to have a little oomph before I get up there on Sunday morning. But so it's been a real interesting time. I'm thinking, Father, I'm trying to present You this message about life, and I know I'm not dead in You, but it almost seems kind of like lifeless. And I hate that. But so what He wants us to do, it's not expecting an emotional high every time. It's not about thinking that everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going we know that's not what the Bible preaches. But we're learning how to enjoy Him in all circumstances. And the world, the people who are still dead in sin, they need to see that in God's people. They need to see the otherness of Christ in the body of Christ. They need to see that they don't just go to church and they're not, but there's something alive, and it's called the life of God in the body of Christ. Amen? And I'm going to go ahead and close, but I want to remind you, remember Jesus. In the Gospels, it's recorded that He was in Bethany, and He was at Simon Peter, I believe, the leper's house, and it talks about how He was just kind of reclining, so he was, his impression, he was just visiting with friends, and the woman comes in with an alabaster box or jar of expensive perfume, and what she does is she breaks that box, and she pours it over Jesus. And it's mentioned and said that she did that to speak of His burial. But in that little story right there, what we see is what Jesus did for the world. Remember, Romans says, sin entered the world, death through sin, by one man, Adam. So sin entered the world, death entered the world. But then Jesus says in John chapter 6, I'm the bread of life come down from heaven, and I give life to the world. So sin was gross darkness over the whole world. It came in sin, which brought spiritual death, death upon the whole world. And Jesus, He came to bring life and to bring it abundantly. And what God wants is for His people to not only know that we have the life of God, but to cultivate it, so to say, to enjoy it. To feel the vibrancy of it. And we do that by our living, our choices, our sanctification. And so that's what I love about it, is He's promised to sanctify us. And as we go on through life, this is one of the beautiful things I think about, one of thousands and thousands, is we should expect, folks, as we keep moving on with God, like that old song says, it gets sweeter and sweeter. It gets better and better because He is promised. He is sanctifying us. And as we move through life and as we learn to bow to His Lordship and as we learn to obey His word, His sanctification is going to be working in us. And in that, we die daily. And in that death of the church, the life of Jesus Christ permeates and hits one another and hits the lost. So in that story, that alabaster box or jar, it represented how Jesus was going to be broken and he poured out. And you can imagine that in that time, Michael, will you come on up? And in that time, in that room, you can just imagine that perfume, the aroma filled the room. Amen? And everybody in that room could smell this sweet aroma that this lady had come in. A vessel was broken, and the contents of that vessel were poured out. And we know that that's exactly what Jesus did. He came, he laid down his life, and he sacrificed. And like I said, his body was a sacrifice for the sin of the world, and it was broken. And when it was broken, that aroma of God, the life of God, just spread out. And so also with us as God's people, he wants that in us. He wants us to understand that we live lives unto him, being broken by his word and by what he requires of our lives. And as we lay down our lives, that aroma, the life of God that's in us, will permeate. It will affect one another. It will affect the world. And so I want to just read these words. It's a little chorus, and I'm through, Brother Mike. It says, "Break me, Lord, break me. Break this earthen vessel. Break me, Lord, break me. Help me die to myself. And the fragrance of Jesus will fill this place." And the fragrance of Jesus will fill this place. Church, what he needs and what his plan is, just like Jesus did, what his plan is for his body to know that we have divine life, and to enjoy that divine life, and to make the choices to actually walk, what the Bible says, in a newness of life, in a new and living way. Something beautiful and amazing that, again, people without Christ don't have. And then also, for through our lives, that through brokenness and through him changing us and sanctifying us, that we can know that that life is going to hit one another. That we don't just get faced with each other's personalities and abilities and talents, but we meet the life, the fragrance of Jesus. Amen? And that wherever we go, wherever the body of Christ goes, in the world, in the earth, the marketplace, anywhere, may the lost experience a fragrance. It's called the life of God. Amen?